But these are the best in the world. Am I good enough? Am I going to measure up? Will I represent myself well? Will I represent my coach well? Will I represent my country? All the doubts come in. There has to be such a fear that wells up in you. But what? Just like our Christian walk, we have to beat those doubts down. We have to say, this, for this moment I have prepared. For this moment, this is why I have prepared for so many years, for a time such as this. Well, I want to tell you something. I will tell you right now that when you have achieved and you step up to that medal podium and you represent the United States, whether it be bronze, silver, or gold, but you say, out of the top three best in the world in this event, I'm one of them. Oh my. Oh my. What a sensation it must be. You see some who stand there, stern-faced. You know, I believe it, they're in a state of shock. You see some who can't stop the tears from flowing. Because this is what they've worked for. This is what they sought to achieve. Imagine all you've done, all the pain, all the loneliness, all the agony has come to fruition as you stand there on the medal podium. Now, imagine stepping up to the white throne of judgment. And the Lord says, depart from me, for I knew you not. And you say, hold on! But Lord, look at these medals I've won at the Olympics. Don't you know how good I am? I represented my country. I did the best. I'm the best in the world. How much value is it going to hold? Not a bit. It holds no value to God whatsoever. Excuse me, that's street pavement. If the streets of heaven are lined with gold, it didn't say plated, it's pure gold. And I can see the Lord saying, yes, you did those things. But where is my glory? How have you glorified me? What have you done in preparation for my kingdom? You know, so many times we get so caught up in our own lives and the things that we desire that we forget it's not about us. We forget that it's all about Him. But then God steps in and He takes one child and He says, but let me show you something. Let me show you this one. Little Gabby Douglas. How about that little girl? Oh my gosh. Yeah, I heard it right up here on the front row. She's a Christian. Yes, she is. Did she say, look at what I've achieved? Look at my medals. Oh no, she did not. That little girl stood right there and said, I give all the honor to God. Oh, we can't say that. Oh yes, she can. That's her moment in the spotlight. And she's giving it to Him because it's going to come right back to her. Oh, and then to hear the interviews with the track and field athletic coaches, the track and field coaches of the U.S. who are sitting there talking about all their Christian young men who are on the team. It would be great to win, but it doesn't matter. We thank God for the opportunity to be here. What? That's a U.S.-supported team. What are they doing talking about God? Because they came to their senses, that's what. They realize it's not about the U.S. I love this country. I spent 20 years in the military for this country. My wife did as well. But I want to tell you something. This country is nothing compared to my God. Who do I serve? I serve my God. Many times we say, oh, I can't say that at work because... I could lose my job. Excuse me, they're not your source. God is your source. Let us give Him glory. Where is the fire that was in you the day that you knelt down and accepted Jesus Christ and asked Him to come into your life and be a part of it? Where is the fire? We were going down and kicking down doors and looking for devils. What do we do now? Oh, well, I don't want to offend anyone, so I just won't talk to them about God. Excuse me, if a 16-year-old child can talk about her God, what's wrong with us? God wants to know, where are my people? Where are my warriors? When I called you, did I not call you for a purpose? Oh, Lord, forgive me. Whew. I just can't get over little Gabby. No fear at all. She was going to tell the world about her God. Yes and amen. That reminds me of a Sunday school teacher who was asking her Sunday school class, said, "All right, kids, what does amen mean?" None of them raised their hand. She said, "Come on, somebody knows what it is. What's amen mean?" Finally, one little boy raises his hand, and she said, "Okay, Tommy, what's amen mean?" He said, "Well, I guess it means that's all, folks." Well, I guess at least he had an opinion. In the Olympics, I think about what these Christian athletes are doing by giving God the glory. And it reminds me of the 1924 Olympics, when Eric Liddell, who represented his country, who was the hope of the nation, refused to run in his events on the Sabbath. Now, some of you may have heard about this. There was a movie back in 1981 called Chariots of Fire. And we know the story. This man of God refused. Did he do it for his glory? No. He did it for his convictions. That his God had put it in his heart that he would not run on the Sabbath, that he was going to keep it holy. And he refused. Much to the chagrin of his teammates and his countrymen, many wanted him removed from the team. Can you imagine that? For his faith? Is it so wrong today? Is it not like today? Where if you profess your faith, well, let's pull them out of office. What are they? A bunch of lunatics? Oh, praise God, I hope I am. Personally, I feel like all those who are not Christians should be pulled out of office. But then we would have no politicians. Insert chuckle here. All right. But the fact is, that's not true. There are Christian politicians. Oh, I saw a wonderful video the other day someone had sent me. And it's about the tours that they give at the White House. And I'm amiss on this, the gentleman's name who gives the tours. And it talks about the spiritual heritage of our nation. And this is what's so cool. It talks about Thomas Jefferson, one of the least religious people who signed the Constitution. And it talked about how when he was president, he attended church every Sunday. Every Sunday. Where? In the Senate. In the Senate. That's where they held church services every Sunday. And before they stopped it, guess what? There was four different churches that held services there. Separation of church and state? Is anybody home? Obviously, you're not getting that. Well, you don't understand. Our founders of this nation, no. You don't get it. Look back into our founders. They've got it. They had the fire of God. Even the ones who were lukewarm, they still understood this nation was ruled by our God. But when we decide that God is no longer needed and we know more, then God slowly is lifting his hand off this nation. I spoke of Eric Liddell, how he refused to race in the event that he had trained for all his life. But what people don't know is the fact that the 400 meter race, which he was not trained for, not expected to win, he ran it the next day. As he lined up on the starting line, an American runner slipped him a piece of paper, and it applauded him for his commitment to God. Guess who won the race? Yeah, Eric Liddell. See, when we elevate God and we lift him up, he's going to lift us up. But our problem is we feel like somehow it's wrong to do that. You know what? This week I stood there at Walmart holding hands with two other people praying for them. Why? Because God told me to do it. I need to get out of that mindset of, well, I hope nobody's looking. I need to get the mindset of, God, I hope somebody's looking. Let them see what a Christian's supposed to do. Let them see what it's supposed to be about lifting up a need to God Almighty, regardless of who's looking. Let us say, you know what, devil, you can't have my children. I'm coming out on Tuesday night, and I'm going to pray. And you know what? The gates of hell will not prevail against me, because God is on my side. Oh, that we could get the fire of God back in our bones again. Our problem is, it requires an effort. It requires an effort. Well, Brother Tim, you're talking about all this Olympics junk. Well, you know, what does that really have to do with us? Did I mention, by the way, that Eric Liddell, after the Olympics, went back to the mission field in China? His parents were missionaries to China. That's where he was raised, born and raised, in the missions field. So you see, he knew who he was in God. And just a few short years later, in 1945, he was killed by the Japanese in occupied China. And the world mourned him. Why? Why would the world mourn someone that they were angry with because he wouldn't run on Sunday? Because he made a commitment to God. Even in his death, people remembered who he was and what he stood for. If we died today, what will you be remembered for? Well, he was really funny. That's it? Oh, you know what? That boy could ride a horse. Oh, you know what? That person was really smart. Oh, you should have seen all the degrees he had hanging on the wall. So what? Did you know Christ? Do you know Christ? What does all this stuff about Olympics have to do with you, with us? Everything and nothing. Everything and nothing. If you come to church and you sit in these chairs and you check the box off, attended church, and you've never felt the presence of God in your life, and when people talk about, I've heard God speak to me, that you think These people are crazy. God doesn't speak to people. And when you see people fall out under the Spirit of God, and you think that's just a big act, that's not real, and you hear someone speak in that heavenly language, you hear someone speak in tongues, and you think that stuff's not real, then it means nothing to you. Everything I've said and every comparison I've given you, it means nothing, so it doesn't matter. You don't need to listen to the rest of the sermon. You can get up and leave. It's okay. But you're going to miss out. Now, to those of you who are blood-bought children of God, have had the blood of Christ applied to your life, accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, know that He was the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. For those of you who fall into that category, what does all this information mean? Everything. Everything. I want, if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 20. We all know Jeremiah as the weeping prophet. Some may say, yeah, he wept. Woe is me, woe is me. I want to tell you something. Put yourself in his position to go against a world that has gone mad and continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. In his case, the gospel of God. Stand firm against all those around you, then see if you don't weep. Jeremiah chapter 20, we're going to begin in verse 7. O Lord, that you induced me and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I and have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. For when I spoke, I cried out. I shouted, violence and plunder! Because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. Hold on, stop right there. God's word was an offense to him? A derision? What? No, he's saying that because of that word, to the people, this is what he felt. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, talking of God, nor speak any more in his name. What happened? That's it. I'm done. Not going to do it anymore. Everybody's picking on me. Nobody loves me. I'm finished. Not going to do it. Is that what he's saying, Brother Ronnie? Is he pouting a little bit? How many of us have ever done that? You better be honest. You're in church. Yeah, you know we all have. First time we go to talk about God and all of our friends go, you got saved? We'll see. Oh, okay. You know what? We've all been there. And you know what? It seems like the worst is your family. Why? Because they know you. They know where you came from. And what do they say? We'll see. We'll see. Yeah, God, yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see how long it lasts. Don't you love that? What great support. But there's more to that scripture. I will not make mention of him anymore, nor speak any more in his name. Here we go. If you don't hear anything else, I want you to hear this. But, his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back and I could not. Where is the fire in your bones? Where is the word in your heart? If someone says something offensive where you work, do you go, oh, well, they're all just going to hell. Can't help them. Or do you say, that is wrong. You should not talk that way, and I won't listen to it. Or when they tell that little off-color joke, do we just go, oh, that's cute. Mm, goodness. For I heard many mocking fear on every side. Report, they say, and we will report it. All my acquaintances watch for my stumbling, saying perhaps he can be induced. Then we will prevail against him, and we will take our revenge on him. Why? Because he was preaching the gospel of God. He was preaching the word of God. And guess what? When you start talking the word of God, people get offended. Why? Because it goes against what they want. They want for themselves. The ways of man are evil. But the Lord is with me. Now, hear on. Listen up. If you got your word, if you got your sword there, I want you to help me on this one. Verse 11. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, awesome one. Help me with it. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, awesome one. And I'm going to keep doing this till we get loud enough that they can hear it. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, awesome one. There you go. There you go. Somebody's got it right. Thank you, Pat. Oh, he is so awesome. And he should be honored because he is our Savior. He is our strength. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and will not prevail. Why? Because the Lord is with me as a mighty, awesome one. They will be greatly ashamed, for they will not prosper. Why? Because the Lord is with me as a mighty, awesome one. Their everlasting confusion will never be forgotten. Why? Because the Lord is with me, mighty, awesome one. God says, where are my children? We should be saying, here am I, Lord. But instead we say, pick them. I'm busy. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I got things to do. Hey, Lord, you know what? Hey, look, they're not doing anything. Pick them. There will be a day of reckoning, where every word that comes out of our mouth we will have to account for. We will have to choose whom we served and whom we haven't. But we do that now. The day of reckoning will be taking what we've done and accounting for it. When the Lord has called you and said, go speak to this person. I'm not really good at that. What makes us think that we were going to speak for ourselves? Does not the Lord say he'll give us the words to say? If the Lord sends you to accomplish a mission, does he say, okay, I want you to go over here, but then I'm going to forget about you? Doesn't work that way, does it? We've got to understand God is calling us to have that word in us, and that word is indeed a fire in our bones. Folks, I want to tell you something. I can't tell you how many times you see young people who get the fire of God on them, and then here comes an elder of the church wanting to put that wet blanket on them. Quick, put it out! It might catch the rest of us on fire. Oh, it's going to catch you on fire as dry as you are. It wouldn't surprise me if the whole church went up. God saying, no, I want them on fire. Leave them alone. Quit putting them down because they raise their hands and get excited. Well, this church, come on. We do that all the time. We raise our hands and get excited. Oh, goodness, they speak in tongues. Praise God, we sure do. But it's not about that. It's about whatever God wants us to do. We got a world right outside the walls of this church going to hell. And we come in here on Sundays and we're okay with that. I said, no, Brother Tim, we're not, aren't we? What are we doing to change it? What are we doing to change it? I want us to catch the fire of God again. And when the Lord says, jump, we say, how high and which direction, Lord? Not, well, are you sure? Are you really sure you want us to jump right now? Because, you know, I don't even have on my tennies. You know, and I'm really not that good of a jumper anyway. No! Quit making excuses. But you can only do it with what you have in you. There was a young man who went and got saved at a revival. And he asked people. He couldn't read. But he asked the people at the church, would you just mark those things that you told me that tell me I need to get saved? And they're like, yeah. So they marked his little Bible. And he went up and he started knocking on doors. Excuse me. Yes? Oh, I don't need any Bible. No, it's not for you. But I don't know how to read, and the people at the church down there gave me this, and I was kind of embarrassed. Would you help me to read these things that they marked for me? And he went, and he asked them to read. Who doesn't know John 3:16? You've got non-Christians who know John 3:16. And some people would read that word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just reading that one scripture, though there were many more marked, they say that this young man brought so many people to Christ just by them reading it. What's it say? My word will not return void. This young man could not read, but it didn't stop him from telling the gospel of Jesus Christ. They say we're the most blessed nation in the world. But the problem is we've got 15 Bibles sitting on the desk and none of them doing anything but collecting dust. There's something wrong if you go to someone's house and you take their Bible and you open it up and it goes, eh. A Bible that's falling apart usually shows a life that isn't. We've heard that before, but it's true. God's Word is all sufficient. It tells us the character of who God is. You know what? Any one of you can tell me about someone else in this church. But I won't really know them until I speak to them. See, God wants to speak to us. And He wants to put that fire in our bones. And He wants to use us for His glory. But we can't do it if we won't listen to Him. It's like going up and saying, hey, Jack, will you talk to me? And he says, sure. And you say, how you doing? La, 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 la. Are you finished yet? La, 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 la. I want to talk to you, but when it comes time for you to talk back to me, I'm going to stick my fingers in my ears and I'm not going to talk to you because I don't want to hear you. You might actually make a change in my life. I don't want that. How long is he going to be my friend? But see, Jack is not God. Because God says, you poor pathetic thing, I still love you. And someday, Tim Cooper, I'm going to use you. That's basically what I did. I'd call on Santa Jesus and say, Jesus, oh, help me. I'm in such a bad shape. Please help me. And he'd pull me out of the mess I was in, and then I'd take off and head down the road and do the same things I did before. And then when I got in another mess, I'd call on Santa Jesus again, and there he'd come. You know what? I thank God that he did not say, enough. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, because I was. Like Ricardo and I both talk about, we were good at working that iniquity, weren't we, brother? I always say, find what you're good at and stick to it. Discount that. Don't find that and keep doing it. Find the real thing. But again, I ask you, God wants his warriors to prepare for the battle ahead. We are in the end days, folks. We are in those last days. Maybe it's a good idea we didn't have the picnic today with that rain on there. It's coming down good. We are in the last days, and I want to tell you something. He is calling his people to battle. He's telling us, get up. Prepare for battle. Gird yourself. Allow the fire to be in your bones. If we will seek God's face, read his word, call on him daily. Nay, call on him every hour of every day. You know, it's amazing to me that the more I read this book, the more my dreams have his word in it. Things that used to cast fear in my heart, I'd wake up from a dream and be frightened, be scared to death. But the amazing thing, if I put some of this in there before I go to bed at night, I don't have those bad dreams. God is asking us to ignite the fire of the Holy Spirit that is in each and every one of us. And so the simple question, will you? Will you call upon the name of the Lord to ignite the fire that is in you? Quit letting others dictate what you will and won't do, and be obedient to the God who created you and who knows what's best for you. Danny, if you'll go get the children, workers, we're going to take communion. But I'm going to ask you right now where you are. Do you know God? Folks, I'm not talking about, well, back when I was in kindergarten, I was 6 years old, and, you know, I accepted Jesus in Sunday school, and no. Do you know God now? Do you talk to him daily? Does he talk to you? Let me ask you a question. Does it seem senseless when people say that they talk to God? Does it make sense that you can actually hear God's voice? Now, I'm not going to lie to you. Folks, I've heard his voice. I've heard it not only in my spirit, but I've heard it in an audible voice. And nobody around me did. You say, well, then it was just in your spirit. No, I heard it here. Because 3 times I turned around to see him. I even told my wife, are you pulling jokes on me? I didn't think it was funny. But you know the amazing thing? When you're living a life of sin, and you kneel down and you try to explain everything in the world to your God as to why you should be able to do what you want, and he simply says to you 3 times, I will not call you again. Three times my Lord said that to me. He said, I will not call you again. I've heard people say, God will not give you a final call. Nay, I beg to differ with you. I believe with everything that I am, if I had walked away from the Lord that night, I would not be here today. I don't know what would have happened, but I know for without a doubt that God called me that night and I had to make a life-changing decision. Three times I turned to see who was speaking to me until finally the light bulb dimly came on. God is speaking to you. Take it serious. This is a choice of heaven or hell. Which way will you go? There's times that I get frustrated just like everyone else. They spoke this morning about giving up. Boy, did that hit home. There's not a pastor in the ministry that hasn't thought about giving up. The unfortunate thing is so many do. Excuse us. Okay. All right. We're rounding up all the children. We're currently doing a leak check on the roof. Hopefully they'll mark them. Yeah, we got some leaks. Oh, well. Thank God we got a building. Thank God for the rain. Thank God for the rain. You know what amazes me? How many times we say, Lord, send us the rain, send us the rain. And he sends us the rain. And we go, thank you. That's it. Thank you. The person at McDonald's gets better than that. Oh, thank you for, oh, you're such a pleasant person. But God gets thank you. Come on. Are you still gonna have such a glee attitude when all of a sudden you go up next year and you had to pay those high prices at the gas pumps and for the milk and for everything else because the corn didn't grow this year? You're still gonna go, thank you. You're gonna say, oh my gosh. Lord, we thank you for the rain. Folks, I want to tell you something. The enemy is amassing his forces. We see it every day. Every day you see how Satan is trying to destroy the family, trying to destroy this nation. And we're not getting into politics. I'm simply saying this. It's you, not against a political party. It's you against the devil. But God is on our side. It's just a matter of which side are you choosing. Taking just a few minutes for the young folks to come in. You know what? Who's got a praise report?